And we are walking through the book of Acts looking at the theme of prayer. We looked 2 weeks ago at Acts chapter 10. Does anybody remember what we talked about 2 weeks ago from Acts chapter 10? This is really risky. This is 2 weeks removed. So, anyone at all? We'll actually refer back to it today because this is really the same story told a second time, but from a different perspective. We talked about Cornelius, right? And how we have this man who was putting pieces together about God and following God best as he knew, but yet was not saved. And he needed to hear someone give him the gospel message. That's all that was missing. And so as he prayed, God answered that prayer of the lost person, and he opened up a door in Peter's heart that Peter would go and give him the gospel, and that's what happened. And we talked about the other side of prayer. Well, a lot of times when we talk about prayer, we talk about us, the subject, the person in the front of the sentence, doing the activity of prayer. But the fact is, there are people out there asking God for things, praying, and we're on the other side. We're supposed to be the answer. And that's really, really neat when that is the case. And so we want to be looking for ways to be an answer to someone, someone's prayer, looking for ways to meet a need that perhaps they are talking to the Lord about and they don't have the answer for. But tonight we're going to look at that same story, but not from the perspective of Cornelius, but now we're going to look at it from the story, perspective of Peter. And here in Acts chapter 11, you see Peter telling the same story, and in many ways it's a repeat of Acts chapter 10. Peter tells the same story, and the reason that he tells it again is because it's a very important story. It's a very important story because it's this story that lays the foundation for the acceptance of the gospel and spirit baptism to be actually something that is legitimate for people who are not Jews. And so when you get to Acts chapter 11, what you have is Peter coming back from his experience of going up, obeying the Lord to give the gospel to Cornelius and his totally un-Jewish household. He goes up, he preaches the gospel, and then he comes back. And exactly as he expected, all the Jewish leaders put him in a corner and they say, "We heard that you gave the gospel to a Gentile. We heard that you let the Holy Spirit come into their lives." They don't have any Jewish blood in their bodies. And Peter, this was something that Peter himself even struggled with, right? Even in later years, you see in the book of Galatians, Paul reprimanding him for still kind of giving into the political pressure to not hang out with Gentiles. But here's Peter, and he obeys the Lord, and he goes, and he comes back, and the Jews corner him. And all of Acts 11 is Peter trying to demonstrate to them that, yeah, he understands their concern. But he had a dream. He obeyed the Lord. There was an angel involved, and he had other witnesses. If you look in Acts 10, he took some other people with him. He knew it was going to happen. He took some other people with him so that when he came back, he could point and say, "Look, these guys, they all saw it too." And in fact, another interesting detail is these people got saved, and the same things happened that happened in Acts chapter 2. The Spirit came down into their lives as well. But the thing that's interesting is that it happened in the middle of his message. It didn't happen at the end. He didn't give a formal offer at the end for them to respond. They just did it in the middle. And all of these details build up so that Peter's able to say, "Look, I have the same questions that you do about this happening for non-Jewish people, but there's nothing we can do to argue against it. God did this." And so Acts 10 and Acts chapter 11 are very significant passages in the transition of the progress of the gospel to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, and the coming of the Spirit into their lives equally. And it makes it very clear that the gospel and the Spirit of God is something for every person, irregardless of their ethnicity. And as long as they're willing to put their faith in Jesus Christ, persuaded by God to do so, they can be saved. Now, tonight we're going to look at a very small part, but a significant part, of this story. Acts chapter 11, verse 4. Peter said, he rehearsed the matter from the beginning. I think it should be 5, actually. But Peter rehearsed the matter, the whole thing, from Acts chapter 10, from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa, here it is, praying. And in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, I'm not going to go through the whole vision, but essentially, now he sees a big blanket. You know the stork in the old cartoons that comes flying in with a blanket in its beak and babies drop out into chimneys? You know that old cartoon? How many of you don't know at all what I'm talking about? Okay, we got a couple. Okay, you got to go back to the old Warner Brother cartoons or something like this, yeah. You got to go way back, and there were these storks that would fly around in the cartoons. I think Pixar even did a movie short on this here recently. It was pretty cool. Where babies drop out of little blankets, and the blanket's kind of picked up by the four corners, and it kind of hangs there. This is a very random type of a dream that Peter has. Let me paint the picture here even further. Peter went up to the top of the house to pray. Is that a good place to pray? The top of a house at noon? What's it going to be like on the top of a house at noon? A little warm, right? But the fact is, in those days, it would probably be less warm there than it would be inside the building. So he went up top, and he's praying at high noon there, and he falls asleep. Kind of falls into this trance. And he's hungry. If you look back in Acts chapter 10, which is, of course, the same story, Acts chapter 10, 9 through 10, here in 11, he just says that he went up and he prayed. But here, in Acts 10, 9 through 10, he gives more details. It says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey, so he had just finished traveling, walking for a while, and drew nigh into the city. Now, we do that tonight, right? Some of you had to walk for a while. You had to walk a couple miles to get here from the subway. And so you came in here. That's kind of what Peter did, but he probably walked a little farther than that. He walked. He came in. He went up to the top of the house to pray about the sixth hour, which would be about noon. And it says, and he became very hungry. You ever get very hungry when you pray? And would have eaten. The idea was he was making plans to eat, is the idea. But while they made the food ready, and what happens to food when it's being made ready and you're on the top floor? What happens to that food? He starts smelling it. So he's up there praying at the top. He'd just been traveling around. He's hungry. It's the noontime. And he's trying to pray. Really, that's a really good thing for Peter to try to do here. And in the middle of all that, he had a trance. And the vision that he had, sometimes you look at some of the visions in the Bible and you think, wow, that's amazing. Like Ezekiel's angels spinning around with four faces, pretty amazing. Well, this dream's just interesting. He sees this blanket coming down. Now, if I'm right, Joppa was on the sea side, and one commentator said maybe he looked up and saw a sail on a boat, and he saw this big piece of cloth. I don't know. But this idea was in his mind, this blanket coming down, and in it was all these animals that you're not supposed to eat if you're a kosher Jew. And you can imagine he's there, struggling with sleeping, maybe a little drool coming out of his mouth, hungry, smelling the food, struggling to stay awake, and he has a dream of a blanket coming out of the sky with a bunch of animals in it, and he hears a voice saying, stand up and eat them. Oh, no. Oh, Lord, I can't. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, that was so weird. Okay, let me try this again. Let me try to pray again. There we go. Try to pray again. Same vision comes back again, this blanket coming out of the sky with these animals in it, but it's all the ones that the Old Testament says don't eat. Oh, not so, Lord, I can't do that. That happened a couple of times. Kept happening. And then the Lord spoke to him and said, no, there's somebody I think there's a knock down at the front of the house, and the messenger came from Cornelius's place, and he began to put the details together. God was trying to get him to do something that he hadn't thought of because he was a Jew. The last thing he was wanting to do is go talk to the Gentiles, flat-out Gentiles, about giving them the gospel. That would be a big thing to the Jews. He wasn't even planning on it. And even if he had thought of it, it wasn't something he was interested in doing. God made it very clear by giving him a vision, by giving it multiple times, by lining up the circumstances, and so on, and bringing an angel into it. And he knew what he had to do. It's interesting, he did some more study on this passage, this was not a normal prayer time in the Jewish prayer cycle in the course of a day. This was actually an extra prayer. One man says, noon was not a regular hour of prayer, so Peter prays here in addition to the traditional hours, followed by many of his contemporaries. And so the times of prayer that Jews normally prayed in, this was extra. This was overtime. This is extra prayer. So commend Peter for getting in off of a journey and right before it's time to eat, going up to the top of the house and trying to pray some more. So you got to commend him. He was a little tired, but you got to commend him. Maybe he was personally trying to apply Psalms 55:17, which says, evening, which is interesting, the Jewish day and that Jewish mentality, the Jewish day starts when? You know this? At evening. And isn't it true, not to make too much of that, it's a cultural thing, not a biblical thing, but isn't it true that kind of what happens at night when you go to bed kind of affects your morning? Isn't that true? It is, right? And so they kind of view their day as starting as, okay, everything's done. Now it's time to go to bed. I'm going to start my new day. I'm going to start it with what? I'm going to start my day with rest. I'm going to charge my batteries, and then I'm going to do things. And that's the way they view it. Evening and at morning and at noon will I pray, David says, and cry aloud. And so that noontime, maybe he was actually looking at this and saying, I'm not just going to pray at the traditional couple of times. I'm going to pray at noon as well. Maybe that's what he was doing. I think Daniel did that as well. Well, you see the humor here, right? Peter's trying to pray extra, and he has this really crazy dream. And God gives him an idea in this prayer time that he had never considered. And I'm just pointing to this story here tonight to make this observation that there are many ideas out there, there are many strategies, there are many things that you can do, plans you can make, ideas you can have. But the best ideas, the best plans, the best strategies you're ever going to come up with are not going to come from Google. They're not going to come from the library. They're not going to come from your friends. They're not going to come from social media. They're not going to come from the New York Times bestsellers, so the top-rated periodicals. They're not going to come from these places. The best ideas are not going to come from your raw, sheer ingenuity and academic education. The best ideas often are the ones you never thought of, and they're the ones that God gives to you in prayer. And let me say, in extra prayer. And I think we can say, just even looking at the example of Peter here, if Peter hadn't taken that extra time to pray, think about it. When would this moment have happened? I'm sure God would have made a way, but the fact is God used his extra prayer time, what seemed like kind of a pathetic prayer time. This guy was hungry. He was planning to eat his food. You ever do that when you're praying? You're actually thinking about the next meal? I mean, here you have the Apostle Peter beginning to enter into the most climactic moment in the spread of the gospel in all of the book of Acts. It is so human. It's so real. It's so understandable. This is not a guy floating on a cloud with a halo around his head waiting to be christened a saint. This is not what we're talking about. Isn't it encouraging that God does use ordinary people? It really is. And it wasn't weeks before Peter was cursing. I mean, months before at this point probably, but Peter was cursing Jesus. There's hope for all of us, isn't there? So I want to ask a few questions. Are you a praying person? How many ideas have you gotten out of prayer and communion with the Lord recently? We were talking as men this week in one setting just how often we do X, Y, and Z, as one man put it. You try X, Y, and Z, and after X, Y, and Z all fails, then you talk to the Lord. That's just how we do it, isn't it, men? Well, all of us do it that way. We should start with prayer. We should start with extra prayer. And I think God will give you some really great ideas and plans and answers to prayer when you view things that way. Are you a praying person? Do you spend extra time in prayer throughout the day? Now, what opportunities of ministry and witness, open doors has God opened up to you? Not as a result of your creative thinking, spiritual maturity, or personal ingenuity, but simply as a result of waiting on him in prayer. Acts teaches that God opens doors of opportunity to believers who are praying. Let me add a little more. Ordinary believers who are maybe trying to pray extra, but are still rather ordinary. But in those kind of settings, God can give significant ideas and lead in significant ways. Don't wait till you feel so special and spiritual to pray, guys, ladies. You have something to pray about, pray about it. Whether you're tired or not, pray about it. Talk to the Lord about it. Try to pray at least. I remember times as a college student, there were some times I was trying to pray extra and be a really good Bible college student, and I remember waking up sometimes after those times thinking, oh no, I didn't get my studying done either, and there's a big kind of little puddle of drool in the sofa cushion. You know what I'm talking? Anyone ever have this problem? You try to, okay, I'm going to have my devotions now, pastor preached on it, and you get down to your bedside in the morning, get up a little extra early, and you wake up and the kids are screaming because you think, I never had my devotions. I just caught more sleep in a praying position here this morning. That was really embarrassing. And you think back, I think I prayed about this, and I was starting to pray about that, and I had the idea to pray. Did I? You know, I think sometimes God, yes, God actually hears those prayers too. Sometimes he does significant things to them. So I want to encourage us with that. Simple, but I think it's very helpful.